In Parashat Re'eh, the Torah warns against a uniquely insidious threat, the mesit. In Hebrew, this act of enticing or manipulating other people toward harm is known as hasata, incitement. The discourse of incitement is one of the most central and sensitive topics in social and political interactions in Israel today. The term incitement is used by the Israeli public both as a formal legal definition, a prohibited call for violence, racism, or terrorism, and as a popular political tool designed to invalidate the other side's position and label it as dangerous. The Torah approaches hasata as well, indicating that incitement is dangerous because it is confusing, powerful, and primarily because it works. The verses of Parashat Re'eh describe that the source of incitement may be those close to us. And the verses say as follows: If your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your friend who is as your own soul, entices you, and so on. Incitement is an action with immense power. Precisely for this reason, it is important to ask, what is hasata, and how does it work? A midrash in Sifri Dvarim struggles with the nature of the act of hasata and offers two definitions. Each refers back to a biblical story, which we will explore. The midrash tells us as follows: If your brother, the son of your mother, entices you, hasata means error. Others say hasata means provocation. The Sifri Dvarim brings two interpretations for the act of hasata: error or provocation. Both focus on the qualities of the act of incitement from the standpoint of the person being incited. Both types of hasata are anchored in rich biblical narratives that reveal different aspects of how hasata works and its dangers. According to the first interpretation, incitement is causing a person to make a mistake, take a wrong moral path through deception. This interpretation rests on the story of Navot's vineyard. Achav the king seeks to buy the vineyard of Navot, the Jezreelite, but Navot refuses because it is his ancestral heritage. Achav returns to his house sullen and displeased, and does not eat. Izebel, his wife, identifies in his acceptance a royal weakness and says to him, "Do you now rule Israel?" and promises to obtain the vineyard for him. She does this through a false accusation, having scoundrels testify against Navot that he cursed God, leading to his being put to death. In the summary of the chapter, it is said, "But there was none like Achav, who did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of God, whom Izebel, his wife, incited." Hesita. The verse is not said by one of the characters, but by the biblical narrator, granting the statement a broad perspective of the entire story. What is the hasata here, and what are its qualities and characteristics? The incitement is expressed in the change of Achav's perception. Initially, he understands that there is a limit to his power as a king. He is frustrated and perhaps even despairing, but accepts the judgment and boundaries. Izebel convinces him that his behavior does not befit the status of a king. "Do you now rule Israel?" she argues, in a certain sense that a king is not subject to the law, but stands above it. This is the error of which she convinces Achav. To be incited, according to this interpretation, means not only to do a bad deed, but to be convinced that it is justified. In such a state, the judgment of the person is undermined and they lose their internal compass. From here, several implications derive. First, it reveals the extent to which language of mockery, shame, or undermining identity, such as "what kind of king are you," can become a powerful tool. Second, not only is the inciter, the misit, responsible and punished, the incited person is also not exempt from responsibility because they accepted the new worldview. Third, hasata of this kind is particularly dangerous because it changes the way a person interprets reality. Injustice seems to them like the right, violence as realization of power, and law as an obstacle to be bypassed. The second interpretation in the Sifri Dvarim defines hasata as provocation. Here, the incitement does not necessarily change the person's perception, but rather awakens in them an impulse, fear, anger, or desire until they act contrary to what they know to be correct. The Midrash's quote from the book of Samuel takes us to the last direct confrontation between David and Shaul. David receives a second opportunity to kill Shaul, who is pursuing him, but chooses once again to spare his life out of respect for his status as God's anointed. Shaul learns where David is hiding and goes there with 3,000 warriors. At night, David enters Shaul's camp, finds Shaul sleeping in the center of the camp, and takes the spear and the jar of water that were at his head as proof of the opportunity he had to kill him. David, trying to understand Shaul's reason for wanting to kill him, calls to Shaul and says, "If God has incited hasit you against me, let God accept an offering. If it be the children of men, cursed be they before God." This is a sincere and sharp moment in which David is certain that Shaul is incited, acting out of an external motive. One possibility is that God incited Shaul such that this is a sign of a theological crisis requiring repair. In such a case, David suggests reconciliation. "If God has incited you against me, let him accept an offering." Another possibility is that human beings incited him. Then they are cursed because they turned Shaul, the king, into a tool in their hands. Through this proclamation, David hints to Shaul that he is weak. He is being incited rather than acting as he believes. Shaul himself immediately admits, "I have sinned. I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." He knows that he erred, yet was swept away. That is, according to this interpretation, incitement does not cancel the knowledge of evil. Incitement as provocation indicates a state in which a person does not lose the distinction between good and evil, unlike Achav, for example, but rather the ability to control themselves. From here, additional implications regarding this form of hasata arise. First, since the person still knows that the deed is bad, their responsibility does not disappear. Precisely this knowledge obligates them to build mechanisms of stopping, distancing themselves, and caution. Second, it seems that the inciter does not have to convince with an ordinary argument. It is enough for them to arouse fear, insult, envy, or a sense of threat in order to push the person to action. Third, the struggle against such incitement is not only an ideological struggle, but also an emotional one. There is a need to weaken the impulse and find courage. The distinction between the two types of incitement that we encounter in the Sifri Dvarim, incitement as error and incitement as provocation, presents us with two entirely different challenges. Incitement as error is a blow to identity and to the perception of reality. It works slowly and convinces the person that evil is good and that a lie is truth. The repair for such incitement is rehabilitative and educational. It requires a reconstruction of moral standards, study, and conversation that re-illuminate moral truth. Incitement as provocation, in this case, the incited person knows what is good and what is evil, but due to various reasons and pressures, they do not stop themselves. Here, courage is required in order not to surrender to pressures. The two interpretations of the Sifrei Dvarim complement each other. Sometimes incitement changes a person's worldview, and sometimes it does not change their perception, but rather overwhelms them until they act contrary to it. Ultimately, whether incitement operates by clouding our judgment or by overwhelming our emotional defenses, it remains a test of both our moral clarity and our inner resolve. The vital takeaway for our own lives is to cultivate a dual vigilance. First, to continuously examine the worldview we hold to ensure it is rooted in truth and good. And second, to reinforce our stands to withstand social and emotional pressure. Shabbat Shalom.